There are things that we feel we're not allowed to say at church, right? Maybe those were some over-the-top examples, but nonetheless, those were some examples from our people. Over time, there have become certain words and phrases and things that we think we just shouldn't talk about or we're not supposed to talk about, and they're not allowed, they're taboo. And so that was just our example of kind of poking fun at some of those things. But as Sarah mentioned, over these next few weeks, we're gonna take a few weeks and just talk about some things that aren't often discussed in church. We're going to dive into the first one today, and this first one is anger. Not because we want to teach everyone in here how to be angry or teach you how to lose your temper a little more often, but because we think it's a topic that is out in culture. It's something that exists, and we want to address that. If I haven't said already, welcome. My name is Mark, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here, and I'm excited to see so many people here. It's exciting when school starts back up and people start coming back and we're in fall mode. I know it's depressing because it's going to get colder and all of those things, but at least we're all back together and we're a growing family, right? Someone's excited about that? Maybe not. Okay, just me. But I mentioned it's back to school time, and so I wanted to catch you up on something that happened in our family this week, just because we're a big family. It was that traumatic week where your oldest child goes to school, and so we made him take pictures on the porch that he didn't want to take at all and pose for pictures, and so that's what we did. There's one. You can see where Malachi got his double chin from me, so I kind of passed that down. But this is just catching up. It's cool to just go back to school. And so there's all kinds of cute things here. You guys can scroll to the next one. That's actually just his baby picture so that you could feel as sad as I was when he got on the bus and see, yeah, exactly. Now you feel my world, right? So that was Malachi. This is him hugging Canaan, picking him up off of his feet. And then he looked us in the eye. Malachi was like, all right, you guys don't have to stay here. You're good. And he actually tried to send us away, but wait there on the bus. So I snuck a picture from a distance, but he was waiting there for the bus, getting ready to go and all that fun stuff. And so that's kind of what we did this last week as a family. And then they had this red carpet event. We got to go into his class and take pictures. And that was the only picture he would let me take. He didn't even make eye contact. So you've heard of like 13 going on 30. He's 5 going on 30. And somehow Artie is too cool for his dad. I think they teach that now in curriculum. But he came home, and you know the stereotypical answer, like, what'd you do today? Like, I don't know. Like, he already knows that at 5 years old. I'm like, how did you learn that? You should be able to tell me something, you know. And I was like, what was the favorite thing you did today? And he's like, recess. And then he went upstairs, you know. And so somehow, I thought that was like in middle school and high school people learned that, but he's already learned it already. So that's just a little something that was going on in our family. Back to school time, and I noticed that there are a ton of real life people in the house from OSU, and so it's awesome to have you guys back. Awesome to see a crowd forming and see people getting back in the swing of school. But let's go ahead and let's dive in. Let's talk about anger. And you know, most weeks I feel like it's my job as we talk about something, as we communicate about something, to really dive in the topic and say, you know, this is something we all struggle with, or hey, have you ever thought about this? Maybe this is in your life and you just haven't really given it any time. But I don't think anger is one of those things, right? If I were to ask you, hey, did you lose your temper this week? I'm thinking, or did you get mad this week? I'm thinking maybe that one or two of us in the room could probably say, yeah, to be honest, I got mad just once though on Tuesday, right? That's the only time. I actually thought about keeping a list of all the times I got mad this week, just so I could read it out loud to you guys. And to tell you the truth, it got a little embarrassing after like 4 hours. And I was like, all right, maybe I'm not going to do that. We can just do another idea. But obviously, we all have anger. We all get upset. We all get frustrated. We all lose our temper. And so this is a topic that's common to all of us. And so we want to just dive in and talk about this. We have anger and we have emotion because God, our Father, has those things and shows those things, and he's created us in his image, and so that's why they exist in the world. And our big idea for the day that we're going to kind of park on is, when anger is around, sin is somewhere nearby. When anger is around, sin is somewhere nearby. And this can represent itself in a few different ways, but basically there are two different ways. Usually the anger is our anger, right? Our anger when we're mad, and sometimes the anger belongs to someone else. But either way, it's part of our life, part of our relationships, and part of the things we have to deal with. And so I want to go on and show you this little thing. This is kind of going to be our guide for the day, but usually our anger represents itself in four ways in our lives. And so we have my anger because of my sin. We have my anger because of your sin. Not you specifically, but you know what I mean, right? All right, we have your anger because of my sin, and we have your anger because of your sin. And so we want to just begin addressing these things and walking through them, the different ways that anger can represent itself, the different ways that we can see that because of sin and different things in people's lives. And the first one is my anger, my sin. I I grew up in a family where my dad was one of those people that always had a camera out, right? One of those dads that was just like capturing everything all the time. And if you had one of those dads, there's home movies that are now legend and the one that kind of lives on. Every child has that. For my little brother, it's the time he took his diaper off in the driveway and was like dipping it in a mud puddle and dancing naked. And people still talk about it, right? Because it's that one video that we won't let him forget. Even though he's a dad now, even though he's like 30, it's like, hey, remember that time you dipped your diaper in a mud puddle? It just happens. It follows you. For me, that video is a time that my dad just had the camera out and we were all kind of playing outside. And I decided that I wanted to play baseball. So I went and got a wiffle bat. I was, you know, not very big. And my dad, I was like, Dad, I want to play baseball. And he said, I can't do that right now. I'm watching your brother and I'm recording. And I said, I want to play baseball. And then I got a little more frustrated and a little more forward in my emotions. And I was holding a bat. So you can naturally see where this is going to go, right? So I was like, I want to play baseball. And just started screaming and like wailing on my dad as he's holding the camera. And I tried to look that video up this week because I thought you guys would enjoy it, but it turns out he shut the camera off when I was hitting him with a bat, turns out. So, but that's the one that my parents still make fun of me for. They're like, remember that time you lost your temper? Remember that time you wanted to play baseball and hit your dad? And in that moment, I was mad, right? And in that moment, I wanted one thing, and I wasn't really, you know, mad at this baseball bat, and really, if I was honest with myself, I wasn't mad at my dad. I was mad that I had this expectation of what he would do. I was mad that I had this expectation of who I wanted him to be. I wanted him to do what I wanted, when I wanted to do it. I want to play baseball right now, so we need to play baseball right now, Dad. That's what I want, that's what I need. And for some of us, we have anger in our lives because of our expectations of a timeline, or because of the way that we thought things would turn out, a job we thought we would have, or a relationship that we thought would end. And a lot of us, as we see anger, it's because if you look around, you didn't think your life would look exactly like it does now. You thought you'd finish college in 3.5 years, not 6. You thought you'd be married by now. You didn't think you'd still be single. And sometimes we're confronted with the fact that we're not in control. Sometimes we're confronted with the fact that we don't write the timeline of this world. Proverbs 16 says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And so sometimes when we're confronted with the fact that we're not in control, that we don't control everything, that everything doesn't just revolve around us in this world, we get angry. And when we want to control things, when we want to make everything revolve around us, when we want to put God on our timeline, and when we want to see everything happen just as we want it, when we want it, we're living in sin, and we're being selfish. And so sometimes the anger that we have in our hearts and in our lives is because of our sin. And some of us have seen that anger build up, and over time, we've become frustrated with that. We hold this bitterness and this anger because of something that happened years ago, because it didn't happen the way we wanted or the way we would have designed it. And the longer we hold on to that, the more and more sin we hold on to, the more and more angry we get. And so what do we need to ask ourselves? We need to just simply say, what am I really mad about? Because chances are, you're not really mad about not getting that promotion back in 1998, right? Or you're not really mad about that girl dumping you your sophomore year. You're mad that you weren't in control. You're mad that the world didn't happen as you wanted it to. So you need to ask yourself, is it control that I crave? What's my attitude? What's my heart in this? Why am I angry? What sin is there in me? Sometimes the second square there, our anger is because of others' sin. Sometimes we see my anger, but we see your sin. And this is very obvious. We look around the world all the time and we see injustice done to people. We see things happening. We see human trafficking and different things that just quite frankly make us mad, right? Sometimes we want to think that those things are bad, but I want to take you to a few passages. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10, if you can. If you don't know, there's a Bible under your seat. Mark chapter 10. Is where we're going to be. Mark chapter 10 in the New Testament there, and that is on page 770 if you've got one of the Bibles that's under your seat. Right, and then in verse 13 there on page 770, this is an example of a time that Jesus got mad. And sometimes we need to see this because anger in and of itself, when directed towards sin, It's not always a problem. It's not always a bad thing. Sometimes there are moments where we can have righteous anger, where we can display the emotion that God put in us, the anger that exists in this world because we're made in His image. Sometimes it's rightly directed. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so He could touch them and bless them. But the disciples told them not to bother Him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, He was very displeased with His disciples. He said to them, 'Let the children come to Me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have this kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God.' Then He took the children into His arms and placed His hands on their heads and blessed them." And so in this moment, these kids were wanting to be in the presence of Jesus. They were wanting to know Him. And these disciples were like, "Oh, sorry, this guy's the biggest show in town. He doesn't have time for this. He's too busy talking to adults." And Jesus simply corrected them and said, "This is exactly what I have time for." And so in this moment, He was displeased. He was angry because people were looking down on children. They were looking down on His creation. They were looking down on people that were made in His image. It doesn't say here, and then Jesus lost His temper and freaked out, but it says that He was displeased. It says that He was angry. It says that He showed emotion. And sometimes when we're showing emotion and it's properly directed towards sin, towards something that doesn't please the heart of God, that's okay. You can turn the page to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 15. This is another classic example, a famous example. Maybe you've heard of this as the one time Jesus got mad. People always talk about this passage, but this is Mark chapter 11, verse 15, and it says, "When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants and their customers. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those selling doves, and He stopped everyone from bringing in merchandise. He taught them, 'The scriptures declare, My temple will be called a place of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.'" These people had taken the church. They had taken a place that God had given them to worship Him, and they had turned it into Walmart, basically. They had taken the focus and the attention off of where it was supposed to be and put it on their merchandise and on commerce and on things being bought and sold and on sale prices and all of the wrong things. And that angered Jesus because it took the attention off of God, His Father. It took the attention off of where it should be. And sometimes when we have anger in our lives, it can be rightly directed. It's okay to see things going on in this world and to think, you know what? That doesn't make me happy. We see Jesus being often discouraged and upset and angered at religious people, at the Pharisees, all throughout the New Testament. People who basically were not producing fruit with their lives, but were holding each other to rules. We see Jesus being angry at people who didn't value children, didn't value His creation. We see Jesus being angry at judgmentalism. There's all different examples. And I think sometimes we talk about anger, we need to discuss that anger is an emotion that God created. It's an emotion that God feels. And Jesus clearly felt that and acted on that when He was on earth. Most of us imagine Jesus as this mild-mannered guy who is always just holding like one dove and a lamb and has a blue piece of cloth draped across His shoulders and is always smiling. And yet, I think sometimes we make Jesus out to be too passive. I think there are things in this world, things that reflect sin, things that would upset Him, things that as a result would drive Him to anger. And sometimes when we take the passion out of the life of Jesus, we take the passion out of following Him. We take the anger out of following Him. We should not be looking at everything in this world and just be okay with it. There are sinful things, things that should anger us. And something that we can look on, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil." And so while it's okay at times to be angry about things we see, things that we know, things that people do, we can't be controlled by that. We can't be owned by that. We have to understand that vengeance belongs to God, that the future belongs to God, that control belongs to God. We can do what we can in the right time and in our resources, but at the same time, God owns this world and the timeline is His. And when we try to micromanage that and control that, we're stepping out of our boundaries. Recently, my oldest son there that you saw a picture of that went to kindergarten, he was playing with our middle child, Kanan, and he looked right at Kanan and said, "Kanan, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you. And I'm in the other room, you know, being a lazy dad, watching TV or something, and I thought, all right, someone in the house just said spank you. I should probably go in there and check that out. And I went in there and I said, you're going to do what, Malachi? He said, Kanan's not cleaning up his toys. I told him I'm going to spank him. You know, and I had to sit there and basically explain to him, buddy, that's not your role. That's not your job. You know, I said, I'm sorry that Kanan is doing this. I'm sorry that you're cleaning up toys and he's not. And I know you're frustrated. I know you're mad. But can you come and tell me and just let me handle it? That's not your role. It's okay for us to have emotion towards sin. It's okay for us to be angry at the things we see in this world. It's okay for us to try and address that on some levels. There are people who put their time and their money and their energy into stopping things like human trafficking, and yet at the same time, we have to realize that vengeance isn't ours. It's not our place to eradicate evil people from this world, right? Just go and strike them down and kidnap them or make them disappear. We have to also recognize that our anger can't control us because we're not in control. God is in control. And so as you look at the sin of others, as you look at anger, ask yourself, am I mad? Am I mad at the sin? Or have I made it about the person? Am I pretending that I'm in control? So sometimes we're angry because we have sin in our lives. And sometimes we don't want to admit that. Sometimes we're angry at the sin of others. Sometimes our third option here is your anger is because of my sin. Sometimes we make other people angry because of the way that we treat them. Because, believe it or not, not everyone in this room is perfect. We used to have a day in high school where it was called Disability Awareness Day. And they would select different students and have them simulate that they just had different disabilities and developmental needs and different things. And so my friend Lauren was chosen to be blind for the day. And I don't know if you know this, but to go from being able to see and walking around to school and doing everything your whole life and then just the next day being blind at age 17, that could be pretty traumatic, right? Being the jerk that I was in high school and probably still now, if I'm being honest, I decided that it was my job to pick on Lauren that day, right? So I'm not going to tell you all the stuff I did, but I shouldn't even tell you any of this. No one will like me now. But at lunch, Lauren was a few tables away from me, and I decided, hey, she can't see who it is. I'm gonna throw some food at her, right? So I had some pretzels in my bag because my mom still packed my lunch, right? And I decided that I was just going to throw those things at her, right? Just like little pieces. So, you know, the first one hit, and she kind of looked around, and I hit her with the second one, and she was like, I don't know who did that, but it's not funny. And I threw, you know, maybe 10 or 20 more. I was a terrible person, I promise. And I just kept doing this, just like teasing her, just provoking her. And finally, she was just like, I hate this. And she'd been wearing this mask that was like full of gel, and it was supposed to trap out light and, you know, completely make it like she couldn't see for the day. And she took the thing off and just slammed it on the lunch table, and it like burst everywhere. And she just went stomping out of the room. And then everyone looked at me like, hey, you're not as funny as you thought you were. Just that moment where you're like, okay, you know. And it wasn't like I could blame that on someone else. And honestly, it wasn't like her anger was really the bad thing going on in the room. I had provoked her, and her anger was because I'd been a jerk, because I didn't respect her, because I was teasing her and provoking her, right? And sometimes when people are mad at us, you know, we're confronted that there's sin. Like I said, when anger is around, sin is always somewhere nearby. And sometimes the sin is in our lives. And sometimes people are justified in their anger toward us. Sometimes we just need to be honest and say, okay, who have I been? If someone's mad at you, maybe you need to be honest and say, you know what? I did gossip about that person. Or, you know what? I have been a bad friend. Or, you know what? I did let that relationship slip. There's a passage in 2 Samuel where King David has been unfaithful, and he saw a woman and decided that he wanted to be with her, and so he had some guys in his, you know, that worked for him go and get this woman, and he brought her to the palace, and he slept with her, and she became pregnant, and he decided this was a problem, and so he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll send her husband out to the battle lines, and I'll have him killed. And so there's this huge problem where the man who leads a country has been immoral, has been unfaithful, and has modeled this and just done a terrible thing. And yet, this baby exists, and he eventually makes this woman his wife, but it's just not right. And so this man named Nathan comes to him, and he says, hey, there's this guy who, you know, basically took this other guy's wife and got her pregnant. You know, he explains the situation, but talking kind of in third person out of it there. And David's like, oh, that's terrible. Who is that? And Nathan looks him in the eye and says, the man is you. You're the one who's done the sin. You're the one who's done wrong. You're the one who misstepped in this situation. And in that moment, David gets it. He says, you're right. I've sinned. I've sinned against God. I've done wrong. And so sometimes when people are mad at us, we want to get mad at them. When we're confronted with the truth that there's sin in our lives, we want to say, oh, that's not me. That's not my problem. That's not my thing. That's always the first step, right? We deny it. We go through the anger stage, but it's not us. Sometimes when someone is mad at you, it may be justified. And you just need to be honest and say, have I honored God with my life? Have I honored this person in a relationship? Is there sin in me? Is there sin against them? The fourth way that we can show anger is when we see it in the lives of others. Sometimes we see someone who is angry. We see their anger. We see their sin. Your anger, your sin, as it says up there. We can be looking from the outside in, watching someone's life, and we can just see them being angry, making self-destructive choices. David's life was interesting, to say the least, and his family was not always perfect. He had a son named Absalom who decided that he was in love with his half-sister. So this man, Absalom, this is in 2 Samuel 13, decided that he was going to trick his sister into coming into his bedroom, and when she was there, he was going to rape her. Like I said, this family was not normal all the time. And this is 2 Samuel 13, 15. After Absalom has raped his sister, and after this has happened, this terrible thing, it says, then suddenly his love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. Get out of here. He kicked her out. He banished her out of his room. He was mad at her. He was mad at life. He was mad at this situation. But his anger wasn't because of anything else. His anger was because of his sin, because he had viewed a creation of God, his sister, in the wrong way, because he had compromised his purity and compromised his family and compromised his relationship with God. He was angry at his own sin. And sometimes when we're looking around the world, we see people who are just angry. They may not even realize they're angry because of sin that's in their heart and sin that's in their life. And yet it's our job to take light to them, to talk to them, and in the most gentle way possible sometimes, to confront them, to open their eyes to the sin that's in their life, to the reason that they're angry, and to what's missing. I know that it's not easy to address sin and say, hey, you know why you're really angry? Because you had an affair, and now your marriage is falling apart, and I just wanted to tell you that, okay? Thanks. Right? That's not how we do that. Sometimes we need to say, have you ever thought about some of the things that you've done in your life? Have you ever thought about the choices that you've made? Do you regret any of those choices? Do you think those choices have honored God? Do you think those choices have affected your family? Do you think that those choices would be choices that you would take back if you had the chance? Sometimes people are angry because of the sin in their own lives. And so it's our job to address that sin. And they may not want to listen to you. They may not be receptive to that. But that's our job as believers, to be light in dark places, to address sin, to confront sin, to talk to people. Sometimes we're angry because of sin in our lives. Sometimes we're angry because of sin that we see in other people, sin that we see around the world. Sometimes people are angry because of sin that we have, and sometimes people are angry because of sin that they have. But simply put, anger exists in every corner of this life. And anger exists because sin is right around the corner. When anger is around, sin is somewhere nearby. The reason for that is because sin attracts anger. Sin and anger are our best friends. They keep close company. They hang out all the time. as the sin that exists in this world, the sin that exists in our hearts, in our lives, in the hearts and lives of those that we know and love, that sin has a price. The Bible tells us that the price for sin is death. What it means by death is separation from God. The wages of sin, the price of sin that exists in our heart and in our lives and in this world is death. And because we sin, because we do things that don't honor God, because sin exists in every man and woman that's ever lived, we have been separated from a perfect and holy God. But God loves us enough that He didn't want that separation to stay there. And so He sent His one and only perfect Son, Jesus, to this world to live a perfect life. So that when He was crucified on the cross, when He died, His perfect life, His sinless life, would be able to pay the price for the sins, for the anger, for all the things that we hold to. And by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus, by understanding that He died, that He rose from the dead, that He defeated our sin and our death, by putting our faith and our hope and our trust and our love in Him and in a relationship with Him, we can overcome anger. We can overcome our sins. We can overcome the things that are holding us back, the things that are separating us from God. And we can know the God that we were created in His image. We can know the God that we were created to know. Anger brings about sin. But I love the response that Jesus has toward us. God is a God of anger and wrath, and yet He's also a God of love and grace. And honestly, sometimes I can't put those two things together. You probably could tell by looking at me today, I'm not a very smart guy, right? But if you ever think about that God is a God of anger and wrath because of our sin, and yet He's a God of love and grace who sent His one and only Son, Jesus. Try and put those two things together. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I trust it because His Word tells me that. And some of us, we have anger because of sin in our lives. We have anger because of sins that have been committed against us. We have anger because people we know have sinned and we can't let those things go. We're able to find freedom, able to be delivered, to overcome those things through relationship in Jesus, through life in Jesus. So, as we talk about anger today, I wouldn't want to walk off the stage without first asking you, are you angry because you're not enough? In and of yourself, you're not able to fix yourself. You're not able to be perfect. You're not able to live in this world without sin and without anger. Are, it's okay. But it's just a matter of admitting, I'm not enough. I'm not perfect. I'm not able to do this on my own. And saying, I need to put my faith and love in Jesus, who was perfect, who is perfect, who is enough. We can overcome the anger and sin that's in our hearts. We can overcome the anger and sin that exists in this world. We can overcome and we can let go of the anger and sin that exists in those around us, the people that we see. Maybe you've made that decision long ago. You've given your life to Jesus, but you're saying, you know what? I'm still mad about this one thing. I'm still mad about this thing that happened long ago. My parents got a divorce. My dad took off. I never knew this guy. Or some people are just mad about the way that they grew up, the way that their life has unfolded. Some people are mad when they're confronted for the first time that they're not perfect and they're not enough. Even if you already have a relationship with Jesus, I'd encourage you today to take that to Him. The Bible says that when we find rest in Him, when we tell things to Him in our relationship, when we just tell Him what's in our heart, when we pray to Him, we'll be given peace. Maybe today as we worship and sing, you just need to take your anger to God and say, God, this is what's in my heart. This is what's in my life. I know You. I trust You. I've given my life to You, but I need You to take this away. I need to tell You about this so that I can have Your peace. God, this is a world of sin that we live in. And yet You sent Your Son, Jesus. guys bow your heads and will you pray with me as we conclude? Lord, as we finish today, Lord, help us to be conscious that we live in a sinful world, to be conscious that anger exists in this world. Lord, sometimes the anger is in us, and we can address that. But sometimes our anger is justified. Lord, other times we're tempted to sin in our anger. We're tempted to go too far in our anger and think that we're in control. Sometimes we're tempted to think that we are you and we are not. God, help us to live as people who overcome anger. Lord, help us to give things to you, to let go of things. Lord, even when sin is nearby, to not default to being mad. Lord, help us to address sin. Help us to let go of sin. Help us to love the world. Help us to trust you. God, help us do that now as we worship and sing. It's in your name I pray.